Love you, my Talk Radio. Okay, hugs and kisses.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. You can call in your prayer requests at
319-527-6200.
Praise be to God. Let us pray. Before that, our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God, is worth.
So let's live forever.
Opportunity to begin again. We choose to press forward and keep believing for the dreams and desires you have placed in our hearts. We trust you today with everything that we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. Praise God. God's work in everyday things. In Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. God often works in miraculous ways. We see his glory in the changing heavens. We see his handiwork in the grandeur of creation. Yet, God is also the creator of the small and everyday things. The perfection of the rose and the fragility of the forget-me-not. All of these things reflect a creative God who is also the master of order and detail. We are so great, we so easily forget that God is interested in our well-being. Just consider how many times he has guided you through difficult circumstances. Let us pray. Thank you, Almighty God, that you never cease to work in our life and answer our prayers. You speak with 1,000 tongues. Let us always hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another selection. And I do hope and pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music. Praise God.
action needs to go word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard.
Five, four, three,
this device is wholesome and good. With half a brain, it should be easily understood. It's worth more than silver and gold. Listen close as wisdom unfolds. Fools think they need no advice, but wise men will listen twice. A fool is quick-tempered and cruel, but the wise maintain and stay cool. Truth stands the test of time, while lies get exposed like crime. I'm in the studio promising I'll be a key in changing lifestyles. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. Spoil the child if you spare the rod. Teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than obtaining wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they want to do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me, are better than kisses from an enemy, enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right finally wins. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace for self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counseling and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open and taking the proverbs that were spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
And Psalms 59:5 says, you, O Lord God of hosts, Jehovah Elohim Tishbah, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be gracious to any who are treacherous in iniquity. Jehovah Elohim Tishbah, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, you have power over all. You are a God of justice and might. We praise you for your skill and perfection. We bless your name for your strength and intensity. We honor you because you are Jehovah Elohim Tishbah, the Lord God of hosts. Armies bow before you. No weapon is stronger than you. No strategy can outwit you. No enemy can overrun you. We bless you, Jehovah Elohim Tishbah, as you command the armies to act on our behalf. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you.
way to go. At the fork of the road, living day by day, so life goes. Never say never, or come what may, for there's a greater power. On the right hand of the throne, he reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Trying to make tomorrow better than today. Yesterday's rain brings hope of a Sunday. Never say never, or come what may. For there's a greater power, and on the right hand of the throne, he reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh, 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 oh.
Amen. Prayer changes things. In 1 Timothy 4 and 6, and the CSB Bible says, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. And the title of this daily message is Study His Word. God's Word is unlike any other book. The Bible is a roadmap for life here on earth and for life eternal. As Christians, we are called upon to study God's holy word, to trust its promises, to follow its commandments, and to share its good news with the world. As women who seek to follow in the footsteps of the one from Galilee, we must study the Bible and meditate upon its meaning for our lives. Otherwise, we deprive ourselves of a priceless gift from our Creator. God's holy word is indeed a transforming, life-changing, one-of-a-kind treasure and a passing acquaintance with the good book is insufficient for Christians who seek to obey God's word and to understand his will. The Bible is God's word to man. weave the unveiling fabric of God's word through your heart and mind. It will hold strong even if the rest of your life unravels. I need the spiritual revival that comes from spending quiet time alone with Jesus in prayer and in thoughtful meditation on his word. God can see clearly no matter how dark or foggy the night is. Trust his word to guide you safely home. The Bible became a living book and a guide for my life. Here's a thought. On your bookshelf, you have God's roadmap for life here on earth and for life eternal. How you choose to use your Bible is, of course, up to you. And so are the consequences. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, in the CSB says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. In Romans 1 and 16, in the CSB says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes. In Matthew 4:4, in the New King James Version says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 24:35 in the CSB says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Dear Lord, the Bible is your gift to us. Let us use it. When we astray from your holy word, Lord, we suffer. But when we place your word at the very center of our life, we are blessed. Make us a faithful students of your word so that we might be a faithful servant in your world. This day and every day, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another selection.
I'm all alone, searching for an answer. I'm tired of failure. I tried so many times to find my way, and I'm not sure. I'm all worn out. I'm all worn out. Open my mind and my heart.
let your word be a part. Oh, revelation knowledge, revelation knowledge, meditating in the spirit of revelation knowledge.
I'm in the pews praying for a sign for it to be alright, but I'm not sure. I'm waiting, anticipating, seeking counsel. I'm so ashamed as I walk in the door. I'm crying.
And it says, if you're working out and looking good, why not show it off? That's a great question. And I have got a copy of God's dress code sitting right here in front of me. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. And it could not be clearer. I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Modesty, propriety, These two words are rare these days, both in speech and in media. If you profess godliness, your actions and your appearance should reflect your values. Good works are a great adornment for women who love God. Let us pray. Jesus, I don't want to be old-fashioned, but I do want to please you. Give me discernment in how to dress so I represent you well. Thank you for your free gift of salvation. Help me see opportunities to do good so people will be encouraged to seek you. Amen, amen, and amen.
Isn't Jesus coming?
Yes, he is. Every day. Praise God. So at this time, I would like to read our devotional message for this evening. And it's entitled, The Course of Consciousness. And the scripture reading for this is coming from Acts 24, verse 16 from the NLT Bible. And it says, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. Amen. Should you listen to your conscience? Each of us has a conscience, whether we believe in Jesus or not. So, it's not necessary a godly compass for us. Nevertheless, under the right circumstances, the conscience can be helpful as we are seeking the Father's plan. The conscience's main purpose is to protect you, stopping you from proceeding on a sinful course or prompting you to do what is right. The unsettling alarm that sounds within you when you're contemplating a disastrous decision can safeguard you from foolish choices. Likewise, there are times when the conscience reminds you of the right thing to do. So the conscience gives you internal feedback about a course of action. But it's not necessarily meant to direct you. Rather, our greatest source of guidance is always found in the unchanging Word of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Scripture and the indwelling Spirit works together with the conscience to steer us in the right direction. This is why it's always so important to stay connected to Jesus through the Bible and in prayer. Only a Christ-centered, submitted conscience will be truly helpful. I hope and pray that this devotional message, it's a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, help us maintain a clear conscience that is godly and submitted to you. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection.
This is for my sister.
Yeah.
This is for my sister. Stay strong.
Yeah.
I pray your strength in Christ. Don't let the game steer you wrong. Sippin' on the same drink, water change, same cheap boys, same kush smoke, same conversation, different stuff, same temptation, same game, same honey, same front, like you got paper. It make you feel big, carrying his gun, tough guy, such a deadbeat to his kids, but he's so fly. 90% of the conversation was all lies. He won't choose for the price of one, you and your sister likewise. So he buy a drink to get you drunk. Now you're rubbing on your sister's side. Every opportunity get you wish you bad by. Now you both wet, controlled by another power. Quiet as kept, every stuck up in the club block with no regret. I used to plot too, I must confess it wasn't right. But that's the price my sister pay. Every night she play.
She play the streetlight, cause there's no place she can go.
The streetlight don't come with no proposal. Only believe half of what you see, and only 2% of what you hear. I pray your strength is
in play.
I know Jesus in your mouth, but he's far from your heart. No doubt he deceived love from the start. Ever tied your thumb, sipping on your drink, sitting at the bar, five drinks a minute. Now you on a dance floor, heavy breathing, bumping and grinding like you want more. Sweating teeth, dropping it low to the floor. This represents everything you stand for. Showing the games you sold, not told. Remember you reap what you sold.
You trust your walk, your talk, your heart, you think you are. She plays the streetlight, cause there's no place she can go. Streetlight, it's the only light she knows. Streetlight, and there's a thousand colors to play. Oh, in the streetlight, streetlight, will you play your life away?
He affects you tonight, forget you tomorrow. One night stand in the back of the car instead of the man of respect. You let him trick your heart, you surviving on the edge. Hope you find a baller bouncing around from club to car. He only like you enough when you giving it up. Your friendship can't be taught, so when he sex you up, remember respect can't be bought. So be the real queen, give me all.
Let those people see
what
just
a real
who you
want to
be. And every night you shine,
what a real
just
thinks
like
that.
A superstar. The type of
time
life that plays.
Remember patience, you raised every dollar, money, material things. Sister, we never feel an empty heart. Don't be ashamed to call on Jesus' name. He'll heal your pain, erase your scar. If you go and worship him, you remember Jesus gave his life. And he loves you for who you really are. You a temple of God, a queen. So keep your faith up and look towards the star. I'm sent back Christ Jesus to point the way. To safety, to security. Come to world of the living. And I love you too.
Come
to world deliver. Keep your faith up, sister. Keep your faith up.
Amen. Ephesians 1:17-19. to know Christ. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Your garden. In Matthew 13, 18 through 23, in the ESV Bible says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sowed in his heart. This is what was sowed along the path. As for what was sowed on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulations or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sowed among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sowed on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruits and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You got this. Have you ever planted a garden? If so, you know it takes seeds to produce fruit and vegetables. Drying, freezing, and lots of good water helps the seeds produce good crops. When we don't give the plants enough water, or when we give them too much water, they can fade away. We can plant the seeds, but if we don't tend to them properly and give them good, nourishing soil, they cannot grow and no fruit will come from them. I love today's scripture in Matthew's because it paints such a great picture of how we can learn to root ourselves in God. The word is the seed, and when we read his word, listen to his voice and obey his commands, our roots get stronger. Then, when the storms of life come, we are able to withstand the winds because we have the deep roots. We have grounded ourselves in God's everlasting peace and sustaining hope. Be quiet. Be quiet. You see, while seeds need good soil in order to take root, grow, and bear fruit, the soul needs to be rooted in God's word to become stronger in its faith. When we start living with him and for him, our seeds begins to bear fruit, not only for ourselves, but also for the lives around us. When we understand and strengthen our faith, it's then that we can truly help friends, family members, passerbys, and all who happen to cross our path. We may even be able to help them strengthen their own roots in the spirit. Praise be to God. You got this. How can you best tend to your garden? Are you planting the right seeds and also giving the seeds enough nourishment? If the seed was scattered in your garden, what would your soil look like? Are there any thorns lingering or rocky soil? When we can provide a nourishing and fruitful spot for the seed sowed in us, deep roots will form that cannot be easily shaken. You got this. Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I'd like to play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen.
I'm on fire.
God, and still we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. Again, I will play a short selection while we're waiting.
The heart of his spirit takes residence in me, purging iniquity to the image of glory. The heart of his spirit lives eternally, leading me, guiding me, and restoring me. Called to walk in the path of righteousness, chosen to serve the King.
A short selection until she arrives. Praise God.
You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
You can't hurry. He'll be there. Don't you worry. Oh, well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. Oh, you can't hurry, God. Oh, no, you just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time.
Gonna wait on him until my change come. And now, at this time, our very own Barbara A. Amore is gonna come and conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
God bless you. Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed, thank you.
Okay.
Hey.
And Chico. Hi, Chico.
Barking at somebody in the hallway.
Okay. Is Val with us tonight?
Yes, she is. Hi, Val.
Good evening. How are you?
Praise the Lord. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How you feeling?
I won't complain. God is so good.
All right.
But I'm sitting here with this pain in my knees. I'm ready to go to emergency, but my doctor said he'll see me on Monday instead of April.
Oh, okay, yeah. A little early, but still. Okay.
I guess, you know, I was never superstitious, but it's raining. It's raining, and the pain is here.
Yeah. Kenny's daughter lives upstairs. She was telling me she has arthritis, and this weather is bothering her.
I
came
get
outside a little while ago, so the wetness and dampness, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I thought it was a superstitious thing, but the pain is still.
No, honey, it's not superstitious. I've been taking Tylenols all day.
Mm. No, yeah. Farmers used to judge the weather by the body, you know, how the aches and pains came up. They could tell whether it was going to rain or not.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's not a superstition. It's just a, like an old wives' tale, I guess you could call it.
Yes, ma'am. Mm.
So feel better. We're going to get started.
Okay.
Catch us in heaven, Father, once more and again. Give your humble servants a symbol at this 7 o'clock hour to give you praise, glory, and honor. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up this morning and guiding us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day, a day we've never seen before, rainy but beautiful nonetheless.
Yeah.
I pray that all those who are listening will feel better knowing that sometimes the weather does contribute to the aches and the pains, but God is still good through it all. God is still good. So we thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain. Lord, we even thank you for the pain.
Ooh,
but let it not be so severe. Father God, ease it up on us. Thank you, God. Help Valerie in a special way right now. Help Hilda in a special way right now. And anyone else,
thank you,
Kimberly, Minister Kimberly Banks, anybody else that's going through aches and pains because of the weather or just general aches and pains, Lord, you know. And we thank you in advance for doing it, for making a way. We thank you for giving doctor's appointments earlier than they were originally planned. And we just thank you for giving us the ability to hold on to your unchanging hand. Lord, we thank you for going and seeing about the sick and the shut-in and the bereaved and the ones who are in jail and in juvenile halls and at war and having threats and whatever against their lives, the liars and the gossipers and the backbiters and the thieves and the criminals, Lord God. We ask that you give us a change from that type of person even being around us. So we can't thank you enough.
God,
thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do, and what you're doing right now. And, Lord, we love you. We adore you. We thank you for your unconditional love, your grace, your mercy, your generosity, your compassion, your favor, Father, your providential care. We thank you for sitting high and looking low and casting the devils out, Lord God.
Thank you, God.
Bless the sick and the old and the young and the babies and those who weren't even born yet. And pray that you bless the president, Father God, and that you will have a way in this decision with our former president's court cases, plural. And so you know what's right, Father God, and I think we all know what's right and what's wrong, but you have your way in the situation, God, and whatever way it goes, we'll be all right, Lord God, because you are still in charge. And again, we can't thank you enough. We thank you. We love you. We adore you. We magnify your precious name and all these blessings. We ask in the matchless name of your Son, of our Savior, the one we love, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I receive my blessings. Thank you, Lord.
You got
Thank
it.
You.
To God be all the glory.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Jeez.
So we're going to get started here. We're on page 324, starting at section 2, the person of the passion. And we know who we're talking about when we speak about the person of the passion, right?
Yes.
Who is that?
Jesus. The person of
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. The person of the passion is Jesus. Okay, so the person involved in that atoning sacrifice was a God-man. Only this kind of being could have affected our salvation. Again, with our repeating material under Christology, let me review some of the salient features of his person that bear on his atoning work. Though a number of reasons are stated in Scripture for the incarnation, the principal one was that he might save his people from their sin, Matthew 1 and 21. What is incarnation?
It's the person being born in the body, in the flesh.
Amen.
Where Christ,
Amen.
Where God came to be born in the flesh, yes.
Amen. Incarnate.
Incarnate.
So the spirit made flesh. To do this required incarnation, that is God in the flesh.
Yes.
God has declared that the penalty for sin has to be death. Mm. Since God cannot die, this part, pay attention, had to be an incarnation in order that there be a human nature to experience death and thus pay the penalty for sin. So since God cannot die, he had to send his son, and son was made flesh and came through the virgin birth of Our Lady Mary. You know that, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So why couldn't he come himself?
Because he's a spirit.
And?
His plan was to redeem man through the
No,
death.
I didn't ask you what his plan
he
was.
The
question is, why didn't God come himself? He came through his son.
Because he doesn't die.
Amen. That's
yes,
it.
Yes, he wanted mankind to be redeemed through the death of
he
Christ.
He cannot die. That's the answer. That's why he sent his son.
Okay.
So the God ordained means an accomplishing, means of accomplishing the incarnation, excuse me, was the virgin birth, which we just kind of briefly touched on. Whether he could have done it some other way and still preserve the sinlessness of Jesus Christ can only be a matter of conjecture. What does that mean?
What is conjecture?
Yeah, that's what I want you to tell me. Don't look up in the commentary yet.
I don't even have the commentary, so I don't know.
Well, good. Conjecture, what is that, Val?
What chapter was that in again? I'm trying to read.
It doesn't matter what chapter. I'm asking you the definition of conjecture.
Well, I would have to look it up. I would.
We
have,
know that.
I'm trying to read it so that I could assume what it is, but I would have to look it up. So
I don't want you to look
you,
it up yet.
In the reading.
I didn't ask
chapter,
you to look it up. I need.
Well, what paragraph is it in again?
I just need you to listen. I don't want you to look up anything. You can follow me as I'm reading it. I'm in the third paragraph, starting with the God-ordained means of accomplishing the incarnation was the virgin birth. Whether he could have done it some other way and still preserve the sinlessness of Jesus Christ can only be a matter of conjecture. What do you think that means in your sanctified mind?
Assumption. It could only be a matter of your own assumption.
Right. Okay, got it. We can come up with what we think it means, or it could be something that people can have opinions on, but we don't know. And why do you think we don't know, Evangelist?
Because God doesn't reveal everything to us. He only let us know what he wants us to know.
And to put it, yes, correct. To put it another way, we don't know the mind of God.
Amen.
He did it the way that he's done it, which was to send his son through a virgin birth, and to say that it could have been done another way with the sinlessness is only something we can talk about and discuss, but
right.
We don't know. Nope. So, Val, when you get a second, I'll wait for you. What is conjecture? You can look it up, Google it, or whatever. And then, Evangelist, I want you to get Matthew 1 and 21. I'm not ready for it yet.
Okay.
You got it, Valerie?
I'm looking for I got a new phone, so the new tablet is not working. So I'm
got,
just went back to
Google
my old
is not
one.
Working.
I got a new phone.
Evangelist, would you look it up, please?
I'm looking, but my tablet is just turning on.
We got it. We're moving right along. Conjecture. What does that mean?
Okay, thank you.
It's an opinion or conclusion formed on the basis of incomplete information.
Oh, my God. The key word, thank you. And that definition is what? What do you think? Valerie?
The incomplete information.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And why would we say that? Why?
I didn't say anything.
Because
no,
we don't have the mind of God.
There you go.
And I like how he introduced this person with the Virgin Mary, because
right.
That's why scholars refuse to read the Bible, because how can a man be born through a virgin?
The virgin,
but,
right? They don't believe it.
You know, but
some of them.
God doesn't reveal, knowledge is not going to reveal that to you. Faith
right.
is going to give you the belief and the word.
Right. And he told us things that, again, like you're saying, we have to take it on faith. There was nobody there to prove it. And I've even heard thoughts or conjectures that Joseph touched her and that she was not a virgin. Amen? But
Amen.
That's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
We go by what the Bible says, not conjectures.
Yes,
no matter what their status is, whether they're pastors or teachers or just common day layman, we don't go by that. We go by what?
Faith.
Faith.
We go by the word of God. We go by what the Bible says. Amen. And faith. So
yes.
Continuing on after
Joseph was just as human as we were. He didn't understand having a virgin wife and a baby on the way.
No, he didn't. But what helped him out?
The angel, Spirit of God.
All right. All right. He got a revelation through a dream.
Yeah.
That told him it's going to be all right, Joseph. That woman that you want to divorce, she is a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
She has not been touched by man. All right. Thank you. Both
Amen.
Of you, thank you. The fact of the matter is that he did do it through the virgin birth. the feminine singular relative pronoun by whom in Matthew 1 and 16 undebatably links Christ to one human parent. And who is that?
Jesus.
Mary.
What? His mother, yes.
And Mary.
His mother.
Oh, the mother.
His mother. It was a virgin birth.
Oh,
so we're going to take a moment and Evangelist Matthew 1 and 23 and Valerie Matthew 1 and 16. You're going to see 21 first, okay?
21 says...
21. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Amen.
How, thank you. How could he do that?
Well, save the people he's going to, once he come down and minister and then he die on the cross for us. That's how we, our sins are going to be saved through him, because he's the only one.
Forgiven.
Forgiven.
That's how our sins are going to be forgiven.
Yeah.
And the key thing, thank you, about him coming down to die on the cross for us in place of our sin-sick selves was what, Valerie? What did he have to be? The Savior and all of that. Huh?
A resurrected.
No, before he was even crucified, what did he have to be? Without sin.
A Savior of the world. He was the Savior.
He had to be sinless.
Sinless.
I think that'd be the answer. He had to be without
sin.
He became sinless.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Always sinless.
That's what he had to be. And man couldn't do it.
Nope.
Man commits sins by omission and commission, you know, daily. So no matter, like I said last week, if he were the Pope, he couldn't do it because he's committed some kind of sin.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking,
I said absolutely the Pope.
Even the Pope. So when we remember the scene in the temple when Jesus came in and got angry and tossed the money changers and the animals out,
yes.
What do you think? Was he committing a sin at that time? Was he cussing them out and, you know,
no.
Kicking
them?
Let me say this. Wait, hold it.
Let me
finish asking the question. Valerie, let me finish asking the question.
Not. Okay.
Was he in the temple casting the money changers and the animals out, the doves, the whoever, the sacrificial animals, and kicking butt and taking names, or was he doing something else? You can answer now.
No, he was just turning Valerie. Over.
Valerie, first, and
no,
then you come.
No, the word of God says be angry, but sin not.
Okay, we talk about the temple, not the other scripture. What happened?
He was angry, but he was not a sin. He did not sin. He was a child. He was, that was a sacred place for Jesus. You know, that,
right.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with cleaning your house. Nothing. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Those things were foul in the synagogue, in the house of God.
In the temple. Okay. Evangelist, thank you.
Yeah, he did. He was angry because, like I said, when he was turning over the tables and letting the doves and things, and he told them that they were turning his father's house into a den of thieves. And so
right.
He was angry about that because the temple was a sacred place for people to go and pray and worship God. But they were making it like a marketplace, selling this and selling that.
Yes. And the question again, Valerie, get Matthew 1:16 after this comment or whatever you're going to ask.
Doctor, you ready for Matthew 1:16?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to tell you. Once I finish talking and I get a response to that, and all of that that I explain, evangelists explain, you explain. Did he send?
No.
No.
All right.
No, he edified the church. He was not hurting the church. He didn't hurt anyone. He edified as he was doing, what he was doing. Explain what he was doing, why he did what he did.
Okay. So is being harsh considered being sinful?
No. God doesn't love who he doesn't chastise.
Okay. All right. Matthew 1:16, Madam Valerie.
And Jacob begot Joseph, the first, the husband of Mary, and whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
So, Jacob begat Joseph, who is what?
Mary's husband. Mary's husband, the mother of Jesus.
Who is called the Messiah. Mary gave birth to Jesus. Jesus, mm-hmm. who was called Christ. Okay. So Joseph's father's name is what?
Jacob, yes.
All right. Yes. Jacob had Joseph, Mary's husband, the Mary who gave birth to Jesus, the Jesus who was called Christ. What does Christ mean?
God with us?
No, that's Emmanuel.
Oh. Messiah?
No.
Well, he got a lot of names. Okay.
What does Christ mean, Valerie?
God.
Where are you?
God.
Valerie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'd rather look it up. I know I'm not going to assume.
Let me just make a general announcement. Please don't look it up unless I ask you to. I want you to think first. Okay?
God.
So what does Christ
is God
mean?
Christ
what?
Is God.
No, listen, you got to hear the question before you answer it. I didn't say who is Christ. I said, what does Christ mean?
Son of God.
Love,
you
I don't
tell
know.
Me who
you. You got to look it up.
No, you have to wait. Christ is a title, and it means the anointed one.
Mm.
So Christ Jesus is the anointed Jesus, or Jesus Christ.
Let me write that down. Jesus.
All right. Christ means the anointed one. That's not his first name. That's not his last name. That's a title.
Okay.
All right. So... next paragraph. The result of the virgin birth was a God-man. God always was. What kind of sentence is that? God always was. What does that mean?
God is like he started out. He doesn't die. He is and he always was from the beginning of time. God, Alpha Omega.
Okay, the general thing is right, but you said one little something that wasn't quite right.
Evangelist, help out. I can't hear you.
What was the question?
The question is,
what is Val doing?
I can't hear you, and you're not, okay. I read the first sentence. It says, the result of the virgin birth was a God-man. God always was. The question is, what does that mean, God always was? Evangelist.
Okay. God always was. Okay. He was God. And then he had to become man. So he put his spirit into a human to become a man. So he's God-man.
No. You telling me what happened after his son came? God always was. That's what I need you to answer.
Sister Barbara, remember the question I asked you about
We're talking about this right now.
It's related to that. I'm trying to answer the question,
not
too.
Now, Valerie. I want Evangelist to answer this question, then we come to your question. Evangelist?
But God-man. So
I like the way y'all...
But God was both God. He was both God and man.
We're not talking about that.
God always
Why you let that simmer? What do you have to say, Valerie?
Okay. It put me in the mind of Genesis, the book of Genesis, where God said, in the beginning, God said there was, created the world, the light, the day, the night.
Mm-hmm.
But before he created our world, he was there. In time, in the beginning of time, which is endless.
No, that's where you keep messing it up. He was there before time.
Right,
he is
that's what
outside.
I'm saying.
Listen
you
to
don't
me.
Understand
Hold
me.
It.
All you want
you
to say is I'm wrong, but you're not understanding
listen.
Me. I'm saying
listen.
The same thing you're saying.
Valerie.
He was there
listen
always.
Listen to my statement.
Ahead.
And you like
I'm
to talk while I'm
to
talking.
You
don't do
now
that.
Now that I'm all cut off, I'm listening
don't do
to you.
That, okay?
Okay.
What I'm saying
okay, but
is
I'm just,
you're
making it hard to learn.
Valerie.
Go ahead.
Don't do that. Can you please change that way about yourself?
So you're making it hard.
I just ask you to be quiet.
I agree with you. But you can't say what I'm saying is the same thing you're saying.
I just asked you to hush for a moment.
I could get that.
Okay.
I understand that.
Well, now you're still talking. So the point that you kept making was God was there in time, from the beginning of time. And the point is he was there before time. He always
before.
Was.
You won't learn if you keep talking. You refuse to see that I'm on the same page with you. You're insulting
you're not
me.
On the
you're saying
same
you're
page
dead wrong when, yes, and before he created the earth, he was there. Do we agree on that? No, I'm wrong.
You teach the class. Go on. I'm just going to listen.
Never will I teach your class. I'm not taking on this class.
Well, you won't let me teach it.
That's what you think.
Yeah, that's what I know. Every time I start talking, you're talking over me.
Well, I'm saying, Bobby, you're on the same page. But you're saying I'm wrong. You're saying I'm talking over you. You're saying I'm so wrong all the time.
You finished?
Yes.
Okay. I'm back. And so, the result of the virgin birth was a God-man. God always was. And what do we say that means? God always was?
In the beginning. He was always there.
Exactly. God always was. Where did he come from?
Everywhere, anywhere, the universe.
Everywhere, everywhere.
He's everywhere.
Okay. He is everywhere, but where did he come from? That's not telling us where he came from. Like we know, Abraham came from where? Where did Abraham come from? Who?
Abraham.
The dust of the earth.
Abraham?
Oh, no, that was Adam.
He came from Ur. He lived in Ur.
Ur.
You are with the oh. Chaldean. He
right.
came from
oh.
Ur.
Okay.
And
but
so,
Sister Bobby, we were just talking about God. But are you talking about Jesus now?
I'm talking about Abraham now.
Okay.
And so, do you know where Ur is, Evangelist?
In Africa?
No. I think you had that in your lesson last week. Not sure. Valerie, where's Ur?
I don't know.
Okay, it's in Iraq. So
in the middle, Iraq is in the Middle East.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So not Africa.
It's in Iraq.
Okay.
So next sentence. After God always was, the total human nature was conceived by the Spirit in the womb of Mary. And the baby born, this is the part that gets people upset, was fully God and a perfect, perfect human being. How can that be? Well, let me finish the sentence. United in one person forever. This is called hypostatic union. Now, before we get to that last sentence, hypostatic union, which I'm going to ask you to define that, what does this mean that he was born fully God and a perfect human being, united in one person forever, and born of the womb of Mary? What do you think about that, Val?
Well, we're talking about Jesus Christ. And what is the question you're asking?
Are you listening or what you doing?
No, you described Jesus.
Right.
So
my question is,
my answer to that description, but what are you asking any other question?
I'm trying to say, what do you think about the Spirit in the womb of Mary, and the baby was born fully God and a perfect human being, united in one person always and forever. And this is called the hypostatic union. So what do you Let me repeat the question so you'll understand what I'm asking. So what do you think of the Spirit? What Spirit was that?
God's Spirit.
The Spirit of God in the womb of a human being, and the baby was fully God in the womb of a human being and a perfect human being united in one person forever. And this is called a hypostatic union. What do you think of that, Valerie?
What I think of that is that God sent his son Jesus through Mary to identify with all mankind. He wanted him to be of flesh, to identify, to be a ransom for mankind, to redeem mankind. And he kept that connection with God, with Jesus Christ, his son, with that spiritual bond that was never broken, with the unification that they had that was never broken.
Okay.
Through the birth of a spirit, through a Virgin Mary.
The birth of
Jesus
a spirit?
Son. Yes. Well, through birthing Jesus, through Mary, as a human, he sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world and to identify with all of mankind.
Okay, so that wasn't the birth of a spirit. That was the birth of a human being filled with the spirit.
Mm.
Evangelist, you want to add something to that before I ask you to define this particular word?
Well, let's see. As it is saying that God, the spirit of Mary, the God Mary, the baby. I put it like, okay, it's like three persons, God, the Son, and the Spirit. So I put it together and say it's the Trinity.
Ooh.
Right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because then there's Mary, then and Jesus and God. So Mary gave birth to Jesus, and he became human. I mean, human. So God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So that, like, the three persons of the Trinity.
Okay. So, what
and the union? The union becomes like, you can say like the combination of all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, which would make them divine?
Okay.
No.
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Of course. So you're defining what?
Hypostatic union with
you.
You
got it.
You went to the dictionary, I see.
She's trying to pronounce that word.
Hypostatic.
Hypostatic. Okay.
Uh-huh. Hypostatic.
Hypostatic.
So,
yeah. But I did that during the week when I read the book. Because it's like my mind tells me certain words that you're going to ask us.
Good.
And so I put like a line under the word. I go to the dictionary. But then by the
very
time.
Very good. I know you looked somewhere. I looked somewhere too. I didn't know what it meant either. But that means, in essence, what? The Trinity.
see, yes. And then
this is called the hypostatic union, meaning the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit combined in one. So all three in one, listen, all three in one is who?
It's the all three in one is the Trinity, which is God.
Oh, thank you. All three in one is God.
Yes.
God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Spirit. And like I said, that's what perplexes a lot of people, particularly Jehovah's Witnesses. They cannot accept the belief of the Trinity. They say a union, meaning it was two of them, but the two are not one. But that's not what our Bible teaches us. They teach us that it's a Trinity, and all three are equal to one, three in one, equal to God.
Yes.
All right? So that word, don't forget, we might come back to that hypostatic union again. What is that hypostatic union, Valerie?
The Trinity.
Hallelujah. She got it. He got it. Okay, next paragraph. Thank you. And thank you, Evangelist. And I like that you look up words so that you can understand. It's not for me, it's for you. That you find what these words mean so that you can get an understanding, that you can get the knowledge. It's nothing to just read words and say, oh, yeah, that go. No, we're not trying to be guessing about this. We want to go deep. And get an understanding and a meaning of what it is that we're reading. We've been reading this book for over 2 years. Come on. We need to know what we're talking about, what we're reading here. That goes with anything. Sunday school books and the Wednesday night thing that you thing. I don't mean it like that. But the Wednesday night class that you teach, words that come across you don't know, you got to look them up.
Absolutely.
You got to define them, and so you can teach the class and tell us what you're talking about. Amen?
Amen.
The God-man, unique in all history alone, qualifies to be an adequate Savior. Who is the God-man?
Jesus.
Thank you. The Savior had to be human in order to be able to die. For God does not die. And the Savior had to be God in order to make that death an effective payment for sin. When a sinful person dies, he or she dies for his or her own sins. They can't die for the sins of the world. They got their own stuff. A sinless person can atone for the sins of others. But who else is sinless other than Jesus?
None.
No, not one.
No, none.
So notice this truth in the opening verses of Romans 1, when Paul described the gospel in verse 1. He said that it concerns God's Son in verse 3. And that Son was human from the seed of David, verse 3, and divine, designated to be the Son of God. Verse 4. In other words, we have a gospel simply because we have a God-man, Savior-man, who as man is able to die, and as God can make that death a satisfactory payment for the sins of the world. No other kind of Savior can save. Is there another Savior? Do we have another Savior?
No, not one.
Please. No, not one.
No, not one.
All have been short of the glory of God.
There you go. Quote that scripture. Let's take a look at Romans 1. And if it's not too long, I think we can read the whole thing. Sally, would you get that? And you're going to break it up. 7:56, oh, we don't have time for the whole thing. But anyway, let's look at Romans 1. Let's see. How many verses
okay,
is
Romans, I have Romans 1.
Wait a minute. How many verses is it?
It's 32.
Oh, goodness. Well, we could try.
Okay.
Let's see. Valerie, read 10. Dennis, read 10, and I'll read the last 10.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Romans 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might be a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you.
Oh. Okay. That was 10?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. D'Angelo?
For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gifts that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I have seen among other Gentiles. I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike. So I am eager to come to you in Rome, too, to preach the good news. 16, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saying anyone or everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God, because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Amen.
What happened was this. People knew God perfectly well, But then they didn't treat him like God. Refusing to worship him, they trivialized themselves into silliness and confusion so that there was neither sense nor regarding, so that there was confusion, so that there was neither sense nor direction left in their lives. They pretended to know it all, but were illiterate regarding life. They traded the glory of God, who holds the whole world in his hands, for cheap figurines you can buy in any roadside stand. His hands, I'm sorry,
page,
any roadside stand. What is that? Keep figuring it out. Verse 14. So God said, in effect, if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. It wasn't long before they were living in a pig pen, smeared with filth, filthy inside and out. All this because they traded the true God for a fake God and worshiped the God they made instead of the God who made them, the God we bless, the God who blesses us. Oh, yes. Words follow. Refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human either. Women didn't know how to be women. Men didn't know how to be men. Sexually confused, they abused and defiled one another. Women with women, men with men, all lust, no love. And then they paid for it. Oh, how they paid for it. Emptied of God and love, godless and loveless wretches. Since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. And then all hell broke loose. Rampant evil, grabbing and grasping, vicious backbiting. They made life hell on earth with their envy, wanton killing, bickering, and cheating. Look at them, mean-spirited, venomous, fork-tongued, God-bashers, bullies, swaggerers, insufferable windbags. They keep inventing new ways of wrecking lives. They ditch their parents when they get in the way. Stupid, slimy, cruel, cold-blooded. And it's not as if they don't know better. They know perfectly well. They're spitting in God's face. And they don't care. Worse, they hand out prizes to those who do the worst things best. And God's word is already blessed.
Amen.
Wow. Wow, that is wow. I love Paul, man. Paul hit it right on the head. Bang, bang, bang,
yes,
bang.
He does. Yes, he does. So I'm sorry, we slipped a little over time. It's 5 after. Val, you feel like taking us out? Now, you ready?
Yes. Could you hear
me? Val, we don't hear you.
You can't hear me.
No.
Now.
Now we do.
Could you hear me? Could you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I come to you as humble as I know how, Lord God. I can meet you. Lord God. Father God. To put up this prayer for my sisters and myself, Lord God. Lord, you said where there's two or three that you there you are in the midst, Lord God. You said you never leave us nor forsake us. You said to ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. better than gold and rubies, Lord God. Lord God, you said to knock and the door will be open. Seek, you shall find. Ask, you shall be given, Lord God. Lord God, we ask for your mercy, for your grace, Lord God, for your love, Jesus, among us, Lord God. Help us to love and to forgive each other for our iniquities, Lord God, and to move forward and to learn your word, learn your ways, Lord God, to learn the gospel, your precepts, to learn this basic theology.
Yes.
Precious name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for that prayer. God bless you. All right, ladies. Gonna
have
say good night. Thank you. What happened?
No, I said have a blessed night to everyone.
Thank you. You do the same. I'm getting ready to record my portion of the program since I won't be on with you all next Thursday. Next Wednesday on the 13th.
Uh-huh. That's tomorrow. You coming tomorrow?
Lehman, no, next week. Next Wednesday. All right. So I'm going to say good night.
You'll be with us tomorrow, right?
No. Tomorrow I will be at Wednesday Sing.
Wednesday Sing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It starts tomorrow.
Okay.
And Lehman College is next week, Val, the 13th.
Yeah.
I'll be with you in spirit, God willing.
Amen.
So let's keep everybody, each other in prayer.
Yes.
And lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I love you, Valerie. I love you, Evangelist.
Love
hugs,
you too.
Blessings, kisses, peace, and joy.
Good night, ladies. I love you.
I got another corny joke.
No,
you want to hear it or you want to just take it?
Oh, God. Lay it on us, Valerie.
You're gonna have me and Evangelist sound so silly because you say you don't want us to look up no words, just wait. So when we get the answer, we just gonna sound silly. Unless you okay. Now give me the chapter where we pick up so I know I could, because you did say we could look up words, and I guess that's on our own, right?
This is the joke.
No, what chapter are we going to be at so we can look up words on our own?
We're in chapter, hold on, chapter 49, no, yeah, no, 50. The passion. Can I tell it, Evangelist?
I didn't say anything.
I hear your mouth.
No, you hear Val's mouth. You don't hear mine.
No, I heard your mouth. We're in chapter, you were telling her 50. I'm trying to tell her myself. We're in chapter 50, The Passion of Christ. It started on page 323, and we stopped on page 324. So we are at the suffering in the passion. This is section 3.
Okay.
We just read Romans. And that was what the last paragraph of section 2 told us, to read certain paragraphs, but we read the entire first chapter of Romans. So we're at page 324, chapter 50, the next time. All right,
yeah,
Val?
I'm going to stop. Sure, teacher, I'm going to stop coming unprepared because I'm not going to keep saying, I don't know.
God bless you.
And
it's
right,
okay not
to
know. We don't know everything. Nobody does.
All right.
Love you all. Have
I thought you
one.
Was corny. Good night.
That was the joke? Oh, I
no.
don't know. I don't know. Okay.
I thought you was corny.
I got it. Oh, funny. That was so funny.
Corny. Good night, ladies.
Good night.
Love y'all.
Love you too.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless.
I can't find it. Get off.